Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 5. I never do this, but I'm going to preach here today. The context in which this passage is written, 2 Chronicles, chapter 5, will begin in verse 11. It's a time when Solomon was dedicating the temple that he had built in Jerusalem, and there was a tremendous work went into. I cannot in my mind imagine Solomon's golden reign. He had more silver and gold than Wall Street ever dreamed of having. And God blessed him mightily, but there was just a sense of God's presence that was strong whenever the Ark of the Covenant of Israel was brought into the temple that was dedicated. And I want to talk about that for a few minutes today, if we can. This was truly worship to God. If you can see it here, as our was this morning was worship to God. Let's 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 11. It says, "And it came to pass when the priests came out of the most holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without keeping to their divisions. And the Levites who were singers, all those of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, stood at the east end of the altar, clothed in white linen, having cymbals, stringed instruments, and harps, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praise the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. At the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God." Father, I pray your blessings on the word today. May your Holy Spirit guide and lead me through the ministry of the scripture. And Lord, may your Holy Spirit minister to hearts and lives and instruct us in the words of God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning about worship. When it comes to the idea of worship and the word worship, there's many things that come over people's minds when they think about worship. And today it's there's good worship and there's some that's not really worship at all. You know, there's a difference between worship and performance. And there are some churches where they have a great performance, you know, but not really true worship. And you see, if without God's presence there, that's really not worship. But where the presence of the Lord is, there is Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom. Amen. And so I believe that God, when we come together in the house of God, that God wants us to worship. And then God's in Solomon's temple was built here. And prior to this, the temple had been in various places wherever God had chosen to place there, but God had no permanent dwelling as far as a house of worship for himself. And we know that it's said in Scripture there is not God cannot be limited to a house of dwelling in this world. Amen. He is above all things. He's everywhere. He's in all places at all times that he needs to be and wants to be. And so we know the heaven of the heavens cannot contain God, much less just a house. But yet, this house that Solomon built by the power of God would be a place where God's name would be identified. It would be in the land of Israel that God had given them. It was being built upon the land of Mount Moriah. It would be built at the very place where Abraham was told to sacrifice his only son, and so in the land of Moriah. And so God built a temple there. Used Solomon to do so. Expensive things were put there. Mighty things, powerful things, beautiful things were put there. God even filled people with the Spirit to do the engravings of all that was to be made in that beautiful temple. Even the veil in the most holy place that separated the people from the Ark of the Covenant. It had to be woven with certain types of material. And also there had to be cherubims, angels woven into that. It took a special work of God, and God filled Bezalel, the son of Ahisamach, if you're interested, to do all of this work for this temple. Amen. And so we know that they did that and was all ready, and they had everything in place. The table of showbread, they had the golden table, the altar of incense, they had everything in its place the way it was supposed to be, the way that God had commanded the people and filled people with his spirit to make it. And it was exactly the way God wanted it to be. But yet there still lacked one thing, and that would be bringing God into the house of worship. And let me tell you something, friend. I know we've seen that, and there's nothing wrong against having a nice place to worship. There's nothing wrong with having beautiful buildings and beautiful sanctuaries, and thank God for a comfortable place that we have to worship today. But none of that can replace the presence of Almighty God. Amen. We can have the best and the greatest of all things. We can have the best food at the church dinners we can have, but it will not take the place, the presence of God. Hallelujah. We've got to have him. Hallelujah. And so we know that they had finished all of that, and now they brought the most holy thing, the Ark of the Covenant in, which contained the Ten Commandments on the inside of it. And in here they were overshadowed. The Ark of the Covenant was overshadowed by two cherubims, which would be angels that guard the presence of the Almighty. And so these two angels represented two angels, absolutely, over the Ark of the Covenant that came in, but it represented the presence of God, and only once a year was a priest allowed to go into the holy place and offer sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. And if he went in there and his heart wasn't right with God, he would die, because the presence of God was so holy and so strong. And that's how powerful God's presence is. Thank God for that. And so, it tells a story here when they brought the Ark of the Covenant in. The most holy place. For all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves. They didn't dare go into the presence of the Almighty unless they were clean on the inside. Sanctification means separation from evil and devotion to God, twofold in its meaning. And so the Levites, who were the singers, they had singers, amen. Those of Asaph, who was known, he wrote a number of the Psalms. And they were in charge of the music that went in the temple. And music was good, and I thank God for music. I love music. But I want God's presence as well. Hallelujah, to sanctify the music. They were clothed in white, and they had cymbals. The white represented the righteousness of God. Had stringed instruments and harps, and with them 120 priests sounding with the trumpets. It must have been a noisy place with 120 trumpets sounding. And so here they are, ministering in the temple, and they're bringing that Ark of the Covenant in to the most holy place. That's where there was a total presence of God, so powerful and so glorious that humanity could not survive in it unless God entered there and made it possible for them to survive. And let me tell you something, friend, when we enter heaven's gate one of these days, the glory of God will be so strong there, the only way we can be there is God has translated us, give us a glorified body that's heaven fit and heaven ready. And I do believe that it's going to happen one of these days. We'll enter the presence of the Lord, we'll be caught up with the Lord to meet the Lord in the air and ever be with the Lord. We'll enter that heavenly city, the New Jerusalem, amen, that God has prepared for his people, amen. And so God is preparing a place for you and I. Even as his temple was prepared to be known as a place where God dwelt. Hallelujah. And so the singers began to sing, and they had cymbals, and they didn't have any choreographed dancing that spoke of here. And 120 priests praising God with their trumpets. Amen. That's what musical instruments are for, is to praise God with. Hallelujah. And something happened here when they made one sound to be praising and thanking the Lord. It was like it was one sound, because there was nothing except the presence of God that mattered there. One sound, praising and worshiping God, voices lifted on high, worshiping the Lamb of God, or worshiping God Almighty, God the Father here, amen, in Old Testament. And they were worshiping God, exalting him. And as they began to praise and sing and worship God with one accord, amen, It sounded like one sound of praise and worship going to Father, God the Father in heaven. Amen. And it does something. Amen. I want to tell you there's something powerful about true worship and praise. If it's fake and phony, it doesn't amount to anything. But if it's true from the heart of worship for God, then there God is welcome and his spirit will move among people. I believe it's the same in the book of Acts, the second chapter, when they were all with one accord in one place. They were there for one purpose, one reason. They wanted to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. And when they were with one accord in one place, the Spirit descended, amen, from heaven like a dove and came into that place, amen. And they were all filled with the Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So we know that God did that. But here, as they were worshiping God with one sound to be heard praising the Lord, then I want to tell you, God's Spirit, God's presence filled that sanctuary. They knew they were in God's presence. There was no question about who it was or where it was. It was the presence of the Almighty God. And when it really is the presence of the Almighty God, it's not something that can be copied. It's not something that can be come from mankind. It has to come from God himself. And God wants to be among his people. And it's God's will. It has always been God's will to dwell among his people. He dwelt with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden before the sin was in the earth, and they had fellowship with God. And after that, we know that mankind fell and brought a curse upon the whole human race. But yet it's always been God's plan to be with his people in one accord with his people. And in heaven, I can tell you, friend, there will be no separation and no division between God's people. We will be with one accord in one place with our Father in heaven and with our Savior sitting at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So they got all their trumpets and cymbals together and instruments of music, and they began to worship and praise the Lord. And these words are said, therefore he is good, God. His mercy endures forever. I'm glad that God didn't quit having mercy. I've needed his mercy. You've needed his mercy. Amen. We are all acts of his mercy and acts of his grace. We are all what we are by the grace of God, an act of God. We're on our way to heaven because of the grace of God. We're saved by the grace of God. By the grace of God, God sent his Holy Spirit to direct us and to help us. By the grace of God, we can live this world in our human body, in this natural body, and there yet we have the Holy Spirit and the eternal life abiding in us because Christ dwells within us. Amen. We're birthed, born again of God's Spirit, and God is there with us. And as we walk with God and live for God, we experience his mercy and his goodness as we walk with him. Here it says, when they began to worship and praise God for his good, for his mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. This was the same cloud that moved for 40 years in the wilderness that Israel had followed. When the cloud lifted up, God says it's time to move on. And as the cloud lifted and moved for 40 years, God led Israel through a wilderness. He provided them food, clothing, meat, quail, and manna every day for 40 years and water out of the rock. It's amazing how God provided. He could just tell Moses to speak to a rock and enough water would come out of that rock to feed probably, I don't know, thousands of people. Maybe that's an underestimate. A lot of people. And all of their sheep and goats and all of their animals, enough water to supply the need. We get to New Testament time. Jesus is the living water. Amen. Jesus said, if you come to this fountain and drink, you'll thirst again. But the water that I shall give him shall be an overflowing river. Amen. Without end. Praise the Lord. And so we know that the house of God here was filled with a cloud. And here it refers to the glory of God. And the glory of God, if you read it, if you begin to explore this a little bit, it deals with the weightiness of God's presence. And let me just say this. There's times when people, what we call slain in the spirit or resting in the spirit, where I pastored before, it's what they called it. Sounds better anyway. It is when people are really slain in the spirit. I'm not talking about somebody that comes by and pushes them down, have a hind catcher so they won't hurt themselves. But if you got what God's presence is really, and his glory is really there, there's just something about humanity that just can't stand such glory. John on the Isle of Patmos when he saw the resurrected, risen Lord. And Jesus said, I am he that lives and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death. John the apostle had seen Jesus in a greater light than he had ever seen. The Bible says, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his hand upon me and lifted me up. But that's just the power of God's presence. Can you imagine when we get to heaven? And somebody told me one time, said, I've got a thing or two I want to talk with God and get right with him when I get there. And, you know, my friend, you better get right before you get there or you won't get there. Anyway, but I believe that when we stand in the presence of God, we'll just fall at his feet and cry, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. That there will be just such rejoicing. We'll have no questions. We'll just believe that God, you did everything right. Everything holy, everything pure, everything is just and pure and holy to you. And we'll be in a place that's filled with such glory and such presence that all in this life will not matter. But all that will matter is that we're ready to meet God and that we've entered into his presence as his children. Amen. So the house was filled with a cloud. The priest could not continue to minister because the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Then Solomon spoke. The Lord said he would dwell in the dark cloud. I have surely built you an exalted house and a place for you to dwell in forever. Hallelujah. And the king turned around and blessed the whole assembly of Israel while all the assembly of Israel was standing. Amen. They blessed the Lord. They praised the Lord. They were not disappointed. God was there. As we move on as a church, friend, I can tell you something, friend. When we come together, you know, we are not to pray for a certain type of behavior that should come to the church, but we just pray that God help me to be open to whatever you want to do in our house. Amen. We want to worship you in the spirit and in truth. We want to love you and serve you. My friend, what can we do to a holy God except lift our hands and cry holy and pray praise to his name? Amen. And we won't make it through this life. We won't be victorious. We won't have victory in this life unless we have God's presence. My friend, we're never complete without God, but we're complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Amen. Our God reigns. He's the exalted one, the mighty one. He's risen from the dead. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. Has the authority to give eternal life to whosoever will. Amen. And so we need his presence. Glory to God. Many times throughout scripture the presence of God is talked about many times. Hallelujah. How that just suddenly when the spirit and the presence of God came in, things changed immediately. I would to God that everything would change immediately. I wake up sometimes and I know I need to change immediately. Have to pray and seek the face of God, and God never fails to show up. He's there. He's never left. Praise the Lord. And when we come to church with worship on our mind, on our heart, I believe that God will be there. Hallelujah. The Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. He lives in praise and worship. And the angels never cease day and night bringing honor and glory to the Lamb of God. And we have something to thank God for. We have something to praise God for. We have righteousness of Christ to praise God for, that we're not looked at in our own perfection, in our own way of living exactly in the perfection of God, but God sees us through the righteousness of his Son. As we accept Christ by faith, which is what we do when we're saved, then we are clothed immediately with the righteousness of God, which God the Father in heaven accepts, the righteousness of his Son. That's what happens when a person receives Christ by faith. They are clothed with the righteousness of Christ and are heaven acceptable. Without his righteousness, there would no one ever set foot in heaven. But clothed with the righteousness of Christ, we're given entrance into the throne room of God. And so that's what God does for us. Amen. We're clothed with his righteousness, and with his goodness, and with his mercy. And I believe if we stand before God someday, we'll just say, God, only by your grace am I here today. And we're here because you gave, not because we earned, but because you gave. Amen. God so loved me. the world, that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him should be saved. Amen. So we're not condemned today because Christ resides in us. Amen. And we're not alone today because God's presence has filled this place. And we love God. Praise the name of Jesus. Would you stand with me? Amen. It's difficult for all of us to just imagine a place that is so holy and so pure and so absent of sin that there's not even the suggestion of any kind of evil whatsoever. My friend, that will be in God's presence. God dwells in such holiness and such perfection that is beyond our human nature to comprehend. But yet God has given us what he wants us to know in Scripture. We cannot imagine a world here with no sorrow, no pain, no sickness, no suffering, no death. We can't imagine a life without tears. But I want to tell you, God will wipe away every tear from your eye. And anything that's ever entered your heart and your mind to make you sad will not be there anymore. The Bible says the former things have passed away. And Jesus said, "Behold, I make all things new." Amen. Book of Revelation, he said unto me, "It is done." God doesn't consider his work in you something in progress. Yes, it is, as far as the sanctification progress in the life that we live. But what he did on Calvary is done. He's not going to die on a cross again for your sins or mine. He did it all at Calvary. He suffered once. Poured out his soul into death because he loved you and I. "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." I'll tell you something, friend. To be a child of the living God is a wonderful thing. A work of God's Spirit, born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. He has not given you the spirit of fear, amen, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." And the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, the heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. "He who overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God. He shall be my son." Praise the Lord. Could you just worship God? Thank you, Father, the mighty blessings that you've provided for us. Thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit, your holy presence. Thank you, Lord, that we're your people today, not by works we've done, but because of your mercy. By works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, has saved us, the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Spirit. Dear God, we pray blessings upon your people, everywhere your anointing upon your people. Help us, Lord, to have a heart prepared to serve you and worship you every day of our lives. And walk with you daily and be overcomers and be victorious with the power that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for worship in the presence of the Almighty. We pray, Father, for a deeper and a stronger and a heavier presence of you in each of our services. We pray, Father, as we yield ourselves to you. Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.